RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
What a gorgeous weather day here in the tri-state.
Rain, rain, rain.
Evan and Tiki here to start the final week of 2025. A week from today, we will be in the middays. Tiki and I have you for the next 4.5 hours or so up until Keith McPherson making a 6:30 stop by tonight on The Fan. And Tiki, we've gotten to the end of week 17 in the NFL, and when you and I said yes to coming in on this Monday, I don't know what the hell we'd be talking about, but boy, did these teams give us plenty to chew on.
Look, I thought we'd be talking about a Giants team that was scrappy out of it, but still playing good football, and having won their third game of the season, I actually felt pretty good yesterday watching this team, because this is what they should have been doing all at least the latter half of the season. Instead, they were finding ways to lose games. They were frustrating the fan base. They were seeding doubt in the Jackson Dart future. People talking about Fernando Mendoza at least being a thought, Evan. And instead, what you see, and I give credit to Mike Kafka and this, and really just the team, they kept playing through all of this.
They did.
Some of these guys have started to get really good, including and especially Abdul Carter, who had a fantastic game again. That's just now his third one in a row. It helps when you want to go to work early and you want to stay extra time and you want to perfect your craft as a professional, the good things that come about. And then most importantly, Jackson Dart looked good.
Yeah. And look, we're going to touch on the Jets in just a couple of moments. But just on that note with the Giants, there's going to be a lot of fans and a lot of fan calls. And Tiki, we know we're going to get them.
Yep.
And I know I had my frustrations too with the idea of, well, you blew the number one overall pick. First of all, no, the Giants did not. Still, according to the power index, a 10% chance to get the number one pick. I actually think it's very much in play with a Chief team playing the Raiders, but who the hell knows who's going to play for what with Kansas
City. I don't know,
City.
But Geno Smith has already been ruled out.
Might be a win for the Raiders next week with Kenny Pickett playing for a job. More on that in a little bit, but you hit on it for a couple reasons. I felt in many ways robbed as a Giants fan yesterday, Tiki, that I sat down, and the moment the game kicks off, Kevin Harlan does the whole scene set, and the last words out before the ball gets tipped is, based on all of what happened in the early games, if the Giants lose this game, they will clinch the number one pick. We found out the moment the ball was getting kicked. Now, Tiki, I tell you, as a fan, not take the player off of it,
right,
a fan sit on the couch that gets their 3 hours of their team's football every week, when that's the last thing you hear when the ball gets kicked, what the hell position is that for a fan base to be in?
It's not a good one. So the problem is now all of a sudden, because you're no longer upset about losing.
No.
It doesn't matter how it happens. You're not going to get pissed off if they blow a 15-point lead in the fourth quarter. You're not going to get pissed off if Jackson Dart gets sacked 8 times and they just suck and it just is what it is. You're just used to it.
Yes.
And so you accept it. But then 3 series in, I think, it was the third series in is when the Giants go down. Devin Singletary has that 29-yard run, gets down to the 1-yard line. They score a touchdown at 7-0, and you're like, two things. the Giants are going to easily win this game because the Raiders suck.
Yeah, the Bobby Okereke pick was obviously that moment for me.
100%. And then the turn, like the flip in your mindset of, I want number one, two, let's just win this game. It got hard. It got
it's
hard.
It's hard. It's
from
hard.
A fan base, I understand it. Yeah. But also, when it was, I don't know, 14-3 maybe, 17-3 right before halftime, in my mind, I started saying, you know what? They suck. Just beat their ass.
Yeah.
Like, hand it to them. Just beat their butt. That's what I wanted to feel after I realized there was no way the Raiders were beating the Giants.
No doubt, Tiki. So this is the way I looked at it and approached it by the end of the game, which is if the Giants were going to win that game versus the Raiders, it had to be that way. Mm. If I'm going to win a game as a fan that I'm finding out moments for kick, I really should be swayed in the position of losing. It better look that way. It better not be a meandering 16-13 listless win where they hand the ball off 45 times and they don't let dart be dart. You mentioned Abdul Carter. For the third straight week, he has responded since, mm-hmm. You know, he was late to meetings and doing whatever else, and he looks like the elite pass rusher they drafted. And on the flip side, Jackson Dart, who I thought had a very important quote to, I'm forgetting her name, the CBS sideline reporter before the game, that he... Melanie Collins had said that Jackson Dart said, you know, he told the coaches, I'm not Joe Flacco. I'm not going to sit... This was a direct quote on the TV broadcast. I'm not going to sit back there and just be this pocket pass. You have to let me be me. And I'm paraphrasing the quote, but he used Joe Flacco as the example. They didn't let him be Joe Flacco yesterday. He looked like the quarterback we saw use his legs.
Yeah.
I know you and I were texting back and forth. Design runs where he was getting small. He was getting out of bounds when he had to get out of bounds. That's the Jackson Dart that the Giants are going to need to lean on, we hope, for the next decade. He's got to play football that way. He's got to stay healthy, but he's got to use his legs. And if the Giants were going to win a game and play themselves out of the first overall pick, at least it happened because, in my mind, the four most important players on the field yesterday were rookies that should be a part of this and learning how to win. And I'm including Darius Alexander, who had another sack there, the third-round pick, and Marcus Bowe at left tackle yesterday,
right,
who I thought was fantastic. So if you're going to win, you're going to blow a number one pick, it better be because you're rookies, who are the guys you know definitively are going to be here next year, are a big engine as to why, and they kicked the Raiders' ass as a result of those guys.
Yes. Now, I don't know if I brought it to air on the pregame yesterday, but I'll say it here as well. There were a lot of reports floating around before the game yesterday about Jackson Dart's view, how people viewed him within the organization.
That was an Ian Rappaport report on the pregame show.
Exactly. And essentially what it was saying, and I'm going to paraphrase and whatever, make it mine, but people were saying, well, the Giants have some doubts about Jackson Dart because of the concussion that he sustained in the Chicago game. And despite being in the tent multiple times, as we've said frequently, he's only been diagnosed with one concussion. So I get it. He takes hits. Quarterbacks to take hits, they get put in a tent. He got diagnosed with one concussion in 2025 this season so far. And as a result, these reports were saying the Giants are going to start thinking about Fernando Mendoza. The mantra that Evan has been talking about regarding whoever the new head coach comes in, what if he wants to consider Fernando Mendoza? You have to at least consider it. It's nonsense. And the reason I brought it up on the pregame show is because we all remember two off seasons ago when all the reporting around the quarterbacks that were coming out were, you know, J.J. McCarthy. The Giants really love J.J. McCarthy. J.J. McCarthy has been in here, you know, three times already. He's telling people the Giants are drafting him. And what did I say? I said, this is a giant smokescreen.
Yeah.
This is nonsense. I can promise you they do not want J.J. McCarthy. And obviously they didn't take J.J. McCarthy. And you know what happened? The Giants kind of waited and got what they wanted a year later at quarterback. This is the same thing. This is Giant personnel or whoever it is manipulating media to get a narrative out there that makes their pick, whether it's one or two, really interesting.
Yes.
Because now people are going to start saying, oh, they might move on from Jackson Dart. If we want our quarterback, we got to go trade with the New York Giants.
Exactly.
That's all that is. It's way too early, by the way. And to me, it's annoyingly early.
Oh,
but
dude,
it's way too early speculation about moving on from a really good quarterback, who, by the way, I mean, if he hadn't missed some games with concussion or he had started at the start of the season, he'd be the rookie of the year.
Right. And honestly, right now, Tyler Shuck has emerged as the favorite.
Yes.
Jackson Dart's still having a better year than Tyler Shuck. He's almost being punished because of missing those games. I'm with you. It's a complete smokescreen, and we're going to get a million more smokescreens, and it's what's going to make us talking about the draft nauseating.
Yes.
But ultimately, I will get into it in about 22 minutes, why that was not the worst case. I've talked myself off the ledge and why that's fine. But we do have to turn the page to something.
Mm-hmm.
What you saw out of the New York Giants yesterday, at a bare minimum, with an interim coach who feels like he's a dead man walking, with some veterans who had been easy to check out, you saw a team have the want to.
Yes.
As Tiki Barber likes to say, the give, the care. And Tiki, like the gluttonous NFL pig I was, I absorbed all the games and all the TVs. I saw a team like the Miami Dolphins, who should have entered yesterday in total quit mode, beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I saw the Cleveland Browns, where Kevin Stefanski feels like he's a dead man walking in Cleveland, turn around versus their rival Steelers and put them on the precipice of elimination Sunday night. I saw teams starting Tyler Huntley and Malik Willis go dual threats at each other Saturday night, play hard. I saw backup quarterback, third string quarterback in Kansas City nearly beat the Denver Broncos on Christmas night. I saw Max Brosmer get the best of a Jared Goff Lions team on Christmas. Now, why am I laying out all these crappy quarterbacks and all these crappy teams? What the hell is the excuse for what the New York Jets laid out yesterday and what they've continued to lay out since, you know, for the last 4 weeks, where they're giving up 40 points here, 35 points here? How is it in a team that should be building the culture by the end of the year, even in a lost year with this head coach, how could the Jets allow the Patriots to just spike the ball in their face, run them over 15 times, and laugh at them? There is no pride in the New York Jets under Aaron Glenn.
No, that's what it felt like. It felt like this team didn't care about winning. They didn't care about playing. Other than Breece Hall, by the way, who had a big run at the end of the game. And I was sad that I had him on my fantasy bench because that put him over 20 points. But whatever.
Well, you can't blame me. I know,
I won anyways, but it was okay. But still, other than him, what was happening that made this team look like they cared? Nothing. And it was from play calling, from effort, from lack of care. It didn't look like they even cared that they were getting their asses beat by the New England Patriots. This vaunted rival who dominated them for decades, and all of a sudden they just lay down and don't care. I mean, this game could have been 60 whatever to three.
It was a 7-on-7 scrimmage, it felt like.
Dude, they stopped putting their foot on the gas.
Yeah.
After halftime, and this is a Mike Vrabel staple. It's unfortunately why they lost to the Buffalo Bills when they had a 17-point lead or whatever it was in the second half of that game 2 weeks ago. When Vrabel gets a big lead, he just kind of starts chilling.
Yeah,
and even when he was chilling, he scored points.
Yeah, and he was caught on the sideline, kind of mouthing like he doesn't give a bleep. You know, he put up whatever points he had to. Tiki, these are the last four games since the Jets beat the Falcons in that 9-3 ugly game. The month of December. 34-10 loss at home to Miami. 48-20 loss on the road in Jacksonville. Losing at New Orleans 29-6 and losing yesterday 42-10. I don't know what the future has this offseason, but when you look at all of the new coaches, whether it's Liam Cohen, whether it's Mike Vrabel, you know, go down the line, all of these teams, Kellen Moore in New Orleans, all of these teams are at least getting, if they're not in playoff position, they're at least getting their teams to buy into the system and buy into the culture by the end of the year. And I know the Jets roster is a long way off, especially after trading Quinnen Williams and Sauce Gardner. And I know they're starting Brady Cook at quarterback, but I brought up some of those other names at quarterback that at least teams are, you know, trying hard and playing hard. I think this is an indictment on Aaron Glenn. And the easy thing to do would be to turn on the microphone and go, he's got to be one and done as a head coach. I'm not calling for that today. I'm not saying that. But I think you have to have serious doubts today, Tiki, about whether you can envision Aaron Glenn being the actual guy to turn this Jet team around.
Yeah, look, and when we talk about Aaron Glenn, we're talking about the extended staff as well. But
yeah.
I've said this multiple times, and I'll say it again. The job of the head coach is to get a team motivated, get them prepared so that they feel like they can go into a game and understand that you know, we have a chance to win. We have everything in front of us. And then lastly, and this is probably the most important one, have them focused on each other so that it doesn't feel like you're just letting someone down when you don't care. And that's what it feels like. It seems like nobody has accountability to one another. And I know it's a jacked up team right now. They don't have a quarterback, But there still has to be some sort of professional pride. And again, Breece Hall played fantastic, which I guess and by extension means that some of the guys on the offensive line did a good job. But from a execution, from a game planning, from a management standpoint, this felt like the worst game I've seen them play in a long time. Now, here's the caveat to this, Sean.
Okay.
What happened yesterday with the Jets losing?
I mean, they rose up the draft board a little bit.
They moved to number three.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. And there's a good chance that the Giants, whatever, they could win against the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
And the New York Jets, when they lose to the Buffalo Bills next week, could move to number two. Now, I'm not saying they're intentionally tanking, but damn, that's what it felt like.
Yeah, I mean, look, it felt like that, but if that's the case, and you're right, we're not saying they are. They certainly, when they strip down the roster at the trade deadline, you're not using the word tank, but you're not putting the best team on the field for the rest of the year.
Deferred winning.
Deferred winning. Man, if that's part of it and Aaron Glenn understands that, Aaron Glenn better hope to God that he's keeping this job at the end of the year, because that's the only thing I question back. And Tiki, I think for the Jets' sake, and the Jets fan sanity.
You hope that's it?
That better be what's going on.
Because, I'm telling you, dude.
Because what scares me about Aaron Glenn right now in the Jets is this. That roster feels so far away. It feels further away than it's ever been in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And you need the quarterback because you see what happens when you don't have one. It's tough to compete and tough to win games. But the Jets, and you have been big on this for a couple of years about trading up, feel like a team that is in no position to be trading all of these assets they accumulated to trade up for a quarterback they don't believe in.
No.
Man, it feels like they need all five of those first-round picks over the next 2 years.
No, you're right. Now, good. The good thing is it's not the offensive line. It's it's not running back, but it is going to be running back because I don't think they're re-signing Breece Hall. And so you're going to go with Isaiah Davis and what's the kid that got hurt? I'm forgetting his name now.
Oh,
from Wisconsin. Yeah. But whatever, you know what I mean.
Bo Allen?
Yeah, whatever his name is. Yeah. Doesn't even matter. But my point is, the best player on that team doesn't feel like he's going to be on that team next year.
Braylon Allen.
Exactly. So they've addressed it without addressing it. So they need talent. They need depth. They need defensive playmakers. They need another wide receiver. They most importantly, Sean, you mentioned it, they need a quarterback. And the only way they're getting one, because there's not a ton in free agency. I mean, you could go get, maybe Geno Smith if he gets cut. You could go get Kirk Cousins when he's free. Like, you could go try. It's not going to feel right.
No.
They need to draft a quarterback. And the issue with the 2026 draft, it is a two-quarterback draft.
Yep.
It is Fernando Mendoza, who, by the way, I don't even know how he's going to work in an NFL locker room. It might be great. It might be like, dude, you are such a nerd.
And a big game for him on Thursday. He could have his stock drop a little bit.
Or Dante Moore.
Yep.
And he might stay. And so there is no way to get a quarterback right now. Unless you overpay for one via trade or free agency. And you just tried that. And I don't think it's going to work again, at least not with the fan base.
And that's what scares me about the Aaron Glenn dilemma. Because, Tiki, the Jets, like you just pointed out, they need to have a quarterback. But they also need a lot of other bodies. Aaron Glenn cannot afford in year two to not have the quarterback situation figured out, stabilized, at least some sign for the future. Because if he doesn't, he's not going to be around for a year three to see when the team does figure out that situation.
Right, another year of this means Aaron Glenn's not the head coach of the New York Jets.
Right, which scares me because it means they know they have the pressure on them already to identify the quarterback position. And when the pressure's on, you might be trading a boatload of picks if you don't finish in the top two. But, hey, the Jets might just be bad enough, and they're going to go into Buffalo next week for the closing of Orchard Park. How do you think that's going to go for the New York Jets in that stadium? 888-808-1019. Giants, Jets, both on the table to start. Plus, I will lay out exactly why I've come to terms with it's not actually worst-case scenario that the Giants won, even though I hated it yesterday. WFAN NFL football is powered by Verizon. We're coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price, so that means a half day. Yeah, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month. Required new customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
On the Fan, 888-808-1019. Evan off, Tommy off. Those guys will return. We'll do one last afternoon show all together on Friday. A little football Friday. We'll be back together. Me and Tiki have you the next two afternoons today and tomorrow before the New Year's holidays. Kind of like this choppy week. Before we get to your calls, Tiki, I just did want to kind of further back up everything I was saying in terms of why I, after breathing on it, I guess sleeping on it, I'm okay with the win yesterday with the Giants, and have learned to accept this. First of all, the Giants win this game every year anyway to get themselves out of the one pick. But here's the deal. The Giants, simply by losing to the Dallas Cowboys, and we'll see, they could beat the Dallas Cowboys, and the Raiders losing to the Chiefs, or sorry, the Raiders beating the Chiefs, the Giants will again be the picking number one in the draft. Now, for anybody to go, well, how the hell are the Raiders going to beat the Chiefs? The Chiefs are starting a third-string quarterback.
Yep.
And you are going to see for the first time, outside of Travis Kelce, maybe it's his last game, a Kansas City Chief team, who knows what veterans are going to go out there and play in the second half. You know this, Tiki. Some guys, you know, hey, let's not try to get anybody else injured before we start next year. We have bigger things on our mind.
Good point.
I'm not sure that you're getting a total crazy great Kansas City Chief effort. And for all the talk about, well, Geno Smith's out, Kenny Pickett is a backup in this league, has four quarters to go play for a job next year.
Now I hear you. There's a good chance that they do find a way to win that game, because Kansas City doesn't look good anymore.
No. How are they scoring points?
Yeah, they're a completely different team without Patrick Mahomes. Even, I mean, and let's face it, with Pat Mahomes this year, they were flawed.
Yes.
They were heavily flawed. So almost lost a lot. I mean, they did lose a lot of games with Pat Mahomes. So it's a good chance that they are just anemic in this final week. And unlike teams that are desperate for organizational success, the Kansas City Chiefs can just chalk this season up to the outlier. Our best player got hurt.
Yeah.
We've had some ineffectiveness on, you know, with our wide receiver core. There was a suspension and then injuries and all these other things. Travis Kelce's 38 years old, whatever he is. Probably not, but you know what I mean. He's aging out. So, of course, we can afford a down season.
Yes.
It's not terminal to our future plans.
No, right. There's nothing more that they need to build culturally in Kansas City to have it figure out. So I think that's on the table. And also yesterday, for the first time all year, I got really caught up in watching a lot of the pregame shows. I guess I just had more time on my hands in the morning. I had the ESPN countdown off for a little bit early in the morning, and they spent, Tiki, I'm not kidding, I counted, it was at least 8 to 10 minutes on how important the Giant Raider game was in terms of the number one pick, right? This was a big theme yesterday.
Yeah.
And Mel Kiper, who I thought at times
it's just
last
weird
year.
Weird to hear.
I know.
Former. Because I'm assuming this is a lot of former athletes.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
And so.
It was Alex Smith.
Right. And then guys around the game as well that aren't former athletes effectively saying they should tank.
Yeah. Well, it was more along the lines. The players that at least were on set were, look, this is never in your mind as a player. You're going out and win the game. But bird's eye view organizationally, what's better for the organization?
You got okay, but, so you're throwing the caveat in there. You're throwing the butt in.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm not saying I would do this, but if yeah. I was this team, I would.
Exactly. Well, and because it all tied in with the Max Crosby not playing.
Yeah, I'm just so anti-tanking.
I know.
It makes no sense to me because you could have the number one overall pick and think you have the best player in the world, and next thing you know, you get Jamarcus Russell.
Hey, no doubt. But this is why it was important, because Kiper brought up something that you just brought up a little while ago. We are waiting to find out about this Oregon quarterback, Dante Moore, whether he's going to declare.
Yeah.
I actually think he will, because how could you not if you're going to be this highly coveted in a draft? Mm-hmm. Why risk that, get hurt, or get lost in the shuffle next year? But we'll see. It's his decision. We'll figure it out. If he comes out.
Yeah, from a personal standpoint.
Right.
You're right. This is his bet, because it is a weak class.
Uh-huh.
It is his best chance to be a top five pick.
No doubt. And if he comes out, Mel Kiper seemed to think, and again, I thought Mel Kiper kind of embarrassed himself with the Shador Sanders stuff last year at the draft. Remember, he carried on for three days?
Yes, yes. Even after he was long
gone.
It was long foregone that he was not going to get drafted.
And Mel Kiper's got a job to do to build draft hype, and I understand that too. So who knows what's what. He seems to think that the gap from what NFL people are going to look like between Mendoza and Moore is way closer than people think. And there's a chance, you know, Moore wins a couple of these playoff games and he jumps Mendoza.
Yeah.
Whether that's true or not, I don't really care because the Giants are not in the market for it. I say that to say, even if the Giants end up with the second overall pick, if Dante Moore does come out, I know we're playing the if game. The Giants should still have a trade partner in place to restock.
Of course.
So that is why winning that game yesterday deserved. And even if it's not, last year, the Travis Hunter trade, we had the year with Will Anderson with that trade up. Remember, if you're not taking the quarterback one and you're picking two, you have the spot that could hold the best player in the draft.
Yeah.
The Giants may be in a spot going, damn, the best player, give me an extra first-round pick, an extra second-round pick. I think the Giants are still in prime draft back, trade back capital despite the win.
No, I think you're right about that. Because what's happening now, because we know that the Las Vegas Raiders are absolutely in the market for a quarterback.
Oh, God.
So I'm forgetting now. They can't fall out of one or two, correct?
I'd have to research what the Cleveland. I know Cleveland with the Giants had the tiebreak. I think they're locked into one. No, they can't be.
Right.
I think they could still fall to three.
Okay.
With a win.
So either way, they're desperate for a quarterback. And so if they lose again and against the Kansas City Chiefs, they're taking Fernando Mendoza.
No doubt.
There's no doubt about it. And so if the Giants are sitting at two, then that's as desirable as sitting at one, because you know that that the Raiders are taking a quarterback.
Right, and it could be the Browns. It could be the Jets moving up one spot. Yeah, who knows? There's a million things that can unfold, but it's not the worst thing in the world that the Giants won that game. 888-808-1019. All right, Jake in Boston. Jake, what's up?
Hey, Jake.
What's up, boys?
All's good.
Happy New Year, guys.
I love it.
No shame. I didn't have any skin in this Joe Shane thing, being up in New England. That changed this past weekend. So Jackson Dart was seen as this Brian Daboll guy, right?
Yes.
But Joe moved back into the first round to get him. And as I found out over the weekend, Shane's daughter, Sydney, goes to Ole Miss. So not only did Joe see Dart frequently last year, he's also seen a lot of Trinidad Chambliss, I believe.
Huh.
And I wonder if the guy is questioning, is this a system thing, because Lane runs a good system and a good program? And as a result, is he thinking less of Jackson Dart because of what Chambliss did? Now, I'm entrepreneurial, Tiki, as Tiki would know.
Right.
The only reason I know Sydney Shane goes to Ole Miss is that, you know, this past year I started to Mel Kiper SEC Greek life and monetize my socials off of it.
Oh, God.
So I made this.
Jake, you are crazy, dude.
Ask my bank account. It was an open avenue, Tiki. You as an entrepreneur know.
Right.
Still an open need. That's how you make money.
Hold on. That actually worked, Jake?
It actually worked. It's a nice little chunk of income. I got to report to the IRS. Now, if you want the next Aaron Andrews, that's Kylan Darnell from Alabama. Even Landry Kiffin herself has gone from being an SEC sorority star to the next Alex Earl in the last 3 months.
By the way, this is why I hired Jake Athuzio.
This is unbelievable.
So I made this video about one of her sisters, and I kind of went after her baby voice, and then she got in the comments. The problem is that her dad's got to do the same thing over the Fernando Mendoza clip after the Big Ten championship game with the voice and the announcement. Like, this is the stuff that happens in a draft room or throughout a draft process.
Right.
And the Giants and Joe Shane have to do this process over and over again, and you're questioning everything. So they're going to go into that process, and they're going to say, is Jackson Dart the result of Lane Kiffin being a really good coach? And that's Trinidad Chambliss? Or is he the guy? And if he's not the guy, how deep into the weeds do we need to scout 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds to make sure they can come to New York and be the guy like Eli was the guy?
No.
And so, like, the Jackson Dart thing is interesting. And the fact that Joe Shane's daughter goes to Ole Miss and thus that has more exposure to Trinidad Chambliss, I'm watching that because I think it reflects on Jackson Dart indirectly.
Oh, stop, you're unbelievable, Jake. What a call to start.
Happy holidays, Jake. He was a great employee because of stuff like that.
That's unbelievable.
Just thinking completely outside of the box with influencer stuff. But, I mean, there is something to that. But here's what we do know about Jackson Dart. He can handle New York.
Definitely.
He can handle the attitude of the fan base and the intelligence of the fan base. He can handle the pressure of having to play on this massive stage. I'm not worried about that at all. Trinidad Chambliss is an interesting case, but I don't think he's coming out until next year at the earliest.
But
the reason I say it's an interesting case is because he was nobody going into this season. And I forgot who the starter was because it doesn't even matter anymore. But the starter there gets hurt. He steps in, and all of a sudden, they're a college football playoff now?
I know.
I mean, you got to give him some credit for both Lane and Trinidad Chambliss for being good at what they do.
Yeah, but here's one thing Jake's not taking into account. He brought up, is Joe Shane thinking this? To me, it no longer matters what Joe Shane's thinking because unless I'm crazy, Tiki, I'm assuming at the end of the year, Joe Shane has his end-of-the-year meetings with the higher-ups with the Giants and presents his offseason plan.
Right.
Right?
This is what we need. This is who we're going to target. This is how we're going to get there.
Okay. If you present an offseason plan with the resume Joe Shane has, and that plan includes moving on from Jackson Dart with your number one pick because you think he's what is your reason
non-starter. Non-starter. He can't do it.
And what would be your reason for staying? That's the thing you're hanging your hat on, is that you found the quarterback.
Oh, I see. Good point.
He just had that whole press conference 100%. After the bye week where he went out of his way to talk about how he brought Jackson Dart to him first. His whole basis for keeping his job is that he identified and found the quarterback.
That's a good point.
If in the offseason plan you think you didn't find the quarterback, that's it. You're out.
Right. Fire me and think about getting somebody else to play quarterback.
Exactly.
So he's all in on Jackson Dart is what you're saying.
Right, exactly.
And he has to be, and he should be, by the way.
Right.
Because other than the injury stuff, which I think is overblown, there's nothing that indicates that Jackson Dart is not your guy.
Correct. Everything else indicated. The only thing is the injury.
Right. It's an interesting talking point for the smashing heads out there to talk about, but it really isn't something that makes any damn sense because we know how hard it is. And I think it's a shrinking pool of talent at the position. We know how hard it is to find a good quarterback in the NFL.
No doubt.
If you have one that has the high potential, there's no way you're moving on from him.
Not
a chance in hell.
Think about where Jackson Dart was drafted, what his draft hype was. Jackson Dart's already exceeded those expectations in his rookie year.
Yes.
It's not like we're looking at him going, oh, I don't know. No. He's actually jumped past where we thought he would be at this point. Michael in Englewood, New Jersey. Michael, what's up?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys.
What's up, Mike?
First of all, Happy New Year. Happy. And I say I'm a long-time Giants season ticket holder, and Tiki, you were one of my favorite players.
I appreciate you, dude.
Games. Now, I agree with everything you guys are saying about tanking. And I apologize if someone has already thrown out this solution, possible solution, because it seems a little bit obvious to me. But why don't they just set the draft after like game 12? Because give me my reasoning on it. It's a short season.
This is interesting.
You start the season, everybody thinks we're going to be better this year. All right, everyone's playing hard. Now you might be 4-7. but at some point. But there's so many playoff spots that teams are saying at 4-7, you know what? We can get it, go on a run, and we could still squeeze in. The point is the tanking doesn't really start until late. So after game 12, set the draft, and the last few games, everyone will still be playing hard. There's no tanking involved. And let's face it, after 12 games, you really know who the bad.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
Teams are.
Yeah, you know the teams that are in need of a whatever, quarterback, offensive tackle, whatever it may be. I mean, it's interesting. I've never thought about it. But it kind of makes sense.
It does. And think about this, because yesterday, I wonder if Mike had the same thought. When they were showing the games, and Brian Burns has the thing on his helmet about making the Pro Bowl.
Yes.
Right? Okay, and we found out the Pro Bowl teams came out last week. Tiki, we have 2 games left. There's only 17 games in a season. This always bothered me about the Pro Bowl. Why are you determining this with games still left to be played for guys to break ties?
Yeah.
If you're doing that, then to me, you've already determined the outcomes of the season. Why couldn't you reconsider? You know, now
that's a very good point. I never thought about that. The Pro Bowls were announced before the season ends.
Yeah, we're playing 2 more games with guys. Like, there's only 17 games.
I know.
That's it.
Right. I'm trying to think of a running back, but because Derrick Henry's did he make the Pro Bowl? Derrick Henry. I don't know.
I don't know because Mary had all the fumbles early. I'm not sure if he ended up on the Pro Bowl.
I don't think he did make the Pro Bowl team, but last week he rushed for 220 yards.
Sway things.
100%.
These games count.
And it's they're playing to get in the postseason.
Yes, and you're putting the division games at the end of the year for all this. The NFL, for that kind of stuff, ignores the last couple weeks of the season. So why does that tie into the draft? To Mike's point. Now, I think week 12 is a little too early.
Yeah. But 14. I could see 14.
Yeah, 14, 15. Could
right.
You determine
after
the draft
week 14,
order?
And then you have 3 games left.
And then by then it's done. Now, of course, what would happen is around week 12, we'd still have the same conversation about tank these next 2 games and then worry about playing out the strings after that.
Right.
And then there's going to be all the talk about the balanced schedules and all that. But I like where his head's at, because the NFL's already should do with the Pro Bowl. They're allowed to make calls before the season ends. Gabe and Wayne. Gabe, what's up?
Hey, Gabe.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for taking the call.
What's up, dude?
So, first of all, I think this weekend absolutely highlighted the fact that tanking or deferred, what's it called? Deferred winning,
yeah,
whatever the
deferred,
hell, whatever
deferred winning.
Is. Yes. It's very much in play.
No
it's happening. It's on the minds of organizations. The Las Vegas Raiders absolutely proved that. But look, let's not like absolve the Giants here. I think the Giants would absolutely make those kinds of decisions if they had to. Tiki, one of the things that you pointed out, I absolutely agree with, and this is the first thing that came to mind when that Rappaport report came out.
Go ahead.
That was a strategic leak.
Yeah.
That's all that was.
Right.
Because if you're the Giants and you have the number one pick at the end of the day, right, how are you going to convince the Raiders and the Jets that you actually might want to use that pick on the best available quarterback?
Yeah.
Like, you can't be hyping up the fact that Jackson Dart's your guy, right? You have to be able to kind of like leave some room in there. Like, I don't know if we're too sure about this Dart guy. We're willing to use it on a quarterback. Because if that doubt doesn't exist, then the Raiders, if they're sitting at two, they'll just be like, all right, don't worry about it. You guys are going to take an edge rusher. We'll take, you know, Fernando right. Mendoza when he falls to us.
Right.
Right. So I think, like, if you keep that in mind, I'm not entirely sure what Giants fans who wanted the team to tank are so upset about. Because in my mind, I'm thinking like this. Let's say you get the number one pick. Your real trade partner is not going to be the Raiders. You're going to want to exploit the Jets. So you're going to want to get two first-round draft picks for them. The last time that happened for a number one pick was what? The Bears and Panthers trade when they got Bryce Young?
Yes.
Bryce Young was objectively a much better ranked quarterback prospect than a guy like Fernando Mendoza going into the draft.
No,
especially
no doubt.
as you got through the combine.
Well, we also don't know, Gabe. We don't know. We don't know what he's going to be.
Of course.
Yeah. And thanks for the call, Gabe. I would just say this. It doesn't matter where these quarterbacks are ranked. What matters is desperation for teams and how many teams you get in there.
Yeah. You just want someone who you can put into the system and hope he blossoms into this beautiful flower. Like plant it in the ground at the system. You water it with the right coaching staff and the right personnel around him, a good offensive line, and hope that he blossoms into this beautiful rose and is the face of the franchise for years to come, because you just don't know with young players. Now, he's right about what the Giants, could do. They could just sit at one and take the best player on the board, right? Quarterback or not. And it's not going to be a quarterback, but take the best non-quarterback on the board. And by the way, the best players in this draft are not the quarterbacks.
Correct. Correct.
Right? It's in fact, it's I think it's Arvell Reese. I think it's the linebacker.
Arvell Reese, Caleb Downs, the safety is a really big deal. And Bain is building a lot of steam as an edge rusher. But that's all going to sort itself out.
Let me look at the unofficial big board. Yeah, Bain, Caleb Downs. Mendoza's up there in the top five. Carnell Tate is there as well. It's wide receivers and defense.
But teams like the Giants, when you're in the spot, it's always good to add talent, always add the top spot. This is where they got themselves into trouble with Saquon, which was not listening to trade calls. Now, look, if you don't just give the pick away, but if you could turn this into two or three players as opposed to the one pristine top piece, that's how I think you can escalate.
I agree.
Turning a roster around.
I agree.
And I think the Giants, once you have the quarterback, are the prime candidate to trade out, which is why it felt like losing yesterday was exactly what the Giants needed to do. Good for them, though, if they don't fall past two, and the fact that they're still alive at one, that is still very much in front of them. What would Aaron Boone say? It's all right in front of us? Yeah, that's exactly what's still there for
them. It's all right in front of us!
Sean in North Babylon. Sean, what's up?
What up, Sean?
Tiki, Sean, Happy New Year, boys.
Likewise,
Happy
dude.
New Year.
I'm going to talk about Tiki. You understand the importance of talent on a roster. That's your secondary yesterday was down 5-6 starters. They were playing with guys that would be playing the final preseason game. You know what I mean?
You're not wrong.
Against a really good play caller in McDaniels, a good coach, and a really good quarterback in May. But besides that, I wanted to talk about this draft thing. The Professional Women's Hockey League, you know how they do it? Once teams are eliminated from playoff contention, the incentive is to win. The more games you win, the higher the pick you get you're eliminated from playoffs.
Sean, we talked about that.
Yeah.
Evan brought that up, I don't know, a month ago or 2 months ago or something like that.
Like and winning leads you to the better odds?
Or no, maybe it was a caller. I think a caller brought it up. And it was along those same lines. Once you get eliminated, then just win. And it's hard because I think it's along the same lines of that last caller and your reaction to him who's saying – do the draft order after week 12. By week 12 to 14, you know who needs what.
Right.
You know who's deficient at quarterback. This team, they don't have a quarterback. Or their quarterback is washed now, man. They need to go get a quarterback. Or their offensive line's a disaster. Like so you know at that point. And so after you're eliminated from playoff contention, if you could somehow flip the incentive to actually try to get better and not be penalized come the draft, that would be great.
It would be. Here's the flaw, though, with that whole thing. It's not as if the players suddenly then play even harder because the team get, like, for the same reason we
I don't think it's harder. I think it's more incentive to develop your depth. And you know,
and not have the organizations decide.
Yeah, you know who the perfect example is, and this is not a bad team. This is actually a great team, the best team in the East right now, is the Knicks. The Knicks keep battling injuries. Josh Hart was banged up. OG was out for a little bit. Now, obviously, he's back. And all of a sudden, they have to throw Tyler Kolek in.
Kolek's starting all in this
dude,
town.
Dude balls, man.
Yeah.
They have to throw in, what's the kid's name? What was his name for this last weekend's game?
Oh, Chris. Got us.
Right. Yeah, he's not paying attention.
He's not bad guy.
But you know what I mean? He was a bench guy. He ended up having a fantastic...
McCullers. Kevin McCullers, Jr.?
Kevin McCullers. He had a great game. So you develop your bench so that once you get healthy, and in this case, once you get right with the draft, you really now have depth.
Yes. But if you have incentivized to win as an organization to get the top pick... Don't you think maybe you'll play some of those veterans a little longer because you don't trust the young guys and the rookies suck? So it actually hurts your development?
Maybe, but I think that's a problem each individual organization can figure out what their philosophy is.
That's true.
You know what I mean? So I don't think being incentivized to lose is good for the league.
It's not.
When you have all, and you just mentioned it, Sean, when you have all of the morning shows basically saying, or the pregame shows basically saying, yeah, this team should lose. How is that good for your sport?
How does that not seep into the room?
Exactly. They hear it. Teams hear it. Teams get disincentivized. They stop caring. They start thinking about what they're doing 3 weeks from now, and all of a sudden, it's a horrible product.
It's horrible.
The Jets game was a non-watchable product.
No.
It was
beyond.
Bad. It was bad. And so, I don't go to Sunday afternoons. I'd rather watch soccer. Right, I'd rather watch Aston Villa play. I'm a Liverpool fan, but you know what I mean. But I'd rather watch some random soccer team than an NFL team not trying to win.
Not trying football teams are the absolute worst product of all the sports.
I 100% agree.
Paul in Essex Fells. Paul, what's up?
Hey, thanks for taking the call, guys. Appreciate it. And I hope you have a happy new year going forward.
I got to get used to these happy new year calls. You know, I wasn't prepared for this, though.
You know, Tiki, you said something before while I was waiting on the line that actually I wanted to talk about was, you know, there's a lot of emphasis on the talent of the quarterback, which of course is important. But what I see with the problem with the Jets is you don't have the coaching staff in order to develop the quarterback.
Yes.
When you look at Brady Cook, I don't know that Brady Cook is as bad as he has looked in the last three games. He didn't have really an offensive line to throw to. He really doesn't have the understanding of the playbook, and really just developing the kind of quarterback mentality that you need in order to be successful in this league. When you look at some of the successful quarterbacks over the years that have come into the NFL, they weren't number one picks.
Yeah,
not all of them. And so this is the thing that I see. The Jets can pick, you know, the next Peyton Manning. And unfortunately, I don't know that they would be really successful in this regime. Your thoughts on that?
No, you're right about that. And so much of what you expect when you bring in a quarterback, in this case, Justin Fields, you have Tyrod Taylor that's there. And then Brady Cook is just kind of like a long developmental, like, super lottery ticket.
Yeah.
Not even a thought, like one you want to even try to play.
Truly best case, you hope you develop as a steady backup in the league.
Yeah, exactly. That's what he needs to become. And you spend all of this effort trying to develop Justin Fields into this dual purpose running back. And it's Tanner Engstrand, who's offensive coordinator, and Charles London, who is their quarterback coach. And then all of a sudden, you start to see, and this isn't working. And you know probably three or four games in that Justin Fields isn't the guy.
Yeah.
So what do you do? So this is the conundrum. Do you keep trying to develop Justin Fields? Do you just say, screw it, and we're going to eat that $30 million that's guaranteed for the 2 years of his contract, and we're just going to play Tyrod Taylor? Or do we completely change our QB room and try to now develop Brady Cook? which is not what you set out the season to do. Oh. And so it's like they're not the same quarterback.
No,
it's
they're not.
It's not. This is not like the Baltimore Ravens having Lamar Jackson and then having Tyler Huntley.
Right, we could run similar styles.
So it's somewhat interchangeable if one of the guys gets hurt, or in this case Lamar gets hurt. You're not running a completely different offense. Now you have Brady Cook playing these last three games. That's not what they set out in training camp to develop as an offense.
No, and I wonder, Tiki, because we get so fixated on developing the quarterback and what's best. The team needs to show progress at the quarterback. What about developing the other guys on the team? Right? Like, yeah. What are you getting right now out of the John Metchie, A.D. Mitchell experience with Brady Cook? And are you actually hurting what you thought you were going to be building in a receiver room as a result of that by going to a guy like Brady Cook? But, I mean, these are all questions they needed to figure out, needed to ask. I also had, and I'm going to give Nick Costos, who does You Better, You Bet, does the Sunday morning show here. He brought up an interesting situation off Saturday night I hadn't thought of. Man, the Jets, if they fall out of this, if the Browns jump up and they don't get a quarterback. We talked about Kyler Murray. Nobody want him. What about Malik Willis?
Yeah.
He's starting to come along here.
Malik Willis is becoming one of my favorite backups in the league.
Yeah, and like maybe Malik Willis was that guy out of Liberty that just needed to kind of figure this out. Maybe he's the next kind of bridge quarterback that breaks through a little bit.
Well, as I texted you guys in our chat, he is what Justin Fields wants to be.
That's right. You did say that. Yes.
It has no chance to be.
No chance to be. Just a guy to keep an eye on as we talk about quarterback, and whether there's still an ability to have one of these bridge guys, young guys. Maybe Malik Willis is... You know, that guy we've been waiting for.
Yeah, but if you're Green Bay, why would you ever let him walk out of your door? Unless he truly deserves a starting opportunity.
If he is free, I believe he's a free agent at the end of the year.
Is he?
I think he is.
Yeah.
I mean, if a team goes and throws a little more money at him than the Packers are willing to give a backup quarterback. Again, if he's not, I'm blaming Nick Costos. But I'm pretty sure he is a free agent. Sorry, Nick.
I think you're right.
888-808-1019. All right, we'll continue to take your calls on the tanking question, the Jets issues, and the Ian Rappaport report we talked about with the Mendoza stuff. What about the idea of Joe Shane staying, quote, through the draft? What did that mean? It's Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers. Transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles. Rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.